anyone staying in here? Nope. No junior? Okay. Now's your chance to escape. All right, Mark chapter number 14 this morning. Thank you again, church, for having us back with you. We're honored to be able to come back and worship with you. Grateful for the opportunity. Mark chapter number 14 this morning. Man, what a song. I'm thankful God is there. I'm thankful though we stray, He does not. His promises are true. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My, oh my, what if we had that attitude towards Him? Mark chapter number 14 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, thank you for the music we've heard this morning. Thank you for the uplifted voices that were worshiping you all across this congregation. Thank you for the men and women, boys and girls who are here this morning, Lord, because they get to be, because they could be. They woke up, they had character, they came to church. I thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just sure would appreciate you to come down and meet with us this morning, Lord. Be nice to know that you're home when we come to your house. Holy Spirit, just have your will and your way. Bind the devil off this place this morning. We don't want nothing to do with him. Just get him out of here. Just meet with us now, Lord. Let us glean from your word. And we'll be thankful and praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you brought your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Man, that's louder than it was in Sunday school. That's good. Mark chapter number 14, verse number 1. We'll start there. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 9. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial. I want to preach this morning just a little while on worship is worth it after all. Worship is worth it. After all, here in this group, we have many different individuals, many different types of people, a lot of different individuals. I want to look at verse number 1 really quick, and I want to show you something, then we'll get into the message. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. Now, that word craft, it means sneaky or crafty, or they had to figure out a way they were going to take Jesus. Because why? Because he was faultless. They had no real reason to go get him. He had done nothing wrong. He had never sinned. He had never offended anyone. So they had to come up with some crafty, sneaky, sly idea how they were going to get him. And man, oh man, how they got him. I want you to pay attention. Look in verse number 5 where it says, it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Do you remember the man they used, Judas, and the amount of money that he was given for Jesus? That's pretty sly. That's a pretty crafty idea to come to one of his own, well, what we thought was his own, and say, hey, how would you like some money? How would you like to get a little bit richer? All you got to do is figure out a way for us to get our hands on him. Well, this morning, I'd love to preach on that, but I'm not. I want to show you worship is worth it after all. Look in verse number 3. Let's look at the first individual in this story that we're going to talk about. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. We know this woman is Mary. She was ready. Number one, we see a woman ready to worship the Lord. I wonder, church today, how many of you men and women came to church ready to worship the Lord? You know, Jesus said at the end of this story that you'll have plenty of opportunities to do good for the poor. And by the way, we should do good for the poor. That's okay. But you know, your time is short with me. What if this was the last service that you are going to have an opportunity to uplift your hands, pour your heart out to a God who deserves it? I wonder if you're like Mary, are you ready to worship God today? Not tomorrow, not after the service. Did you come to church ready, looking for an opportunity to worship the Lord? This worship was no ordinary worship. This alabaster box was very expensive. How many ever brought something very expensive? You know, a lot of us have been given a lot of expensive things. Maybe a lot of us have been given bonuses at work, and we think maybe we got that bonus, you know, we could go get this new toy that we want now. Well, imagine having all that extra money for yourself, and the only thing you're thinking about is, what can I gain from this? See, Mary had this very expensive ointment, and what she was thinking about was, what can I gain from giving to the Lord? Can I tell you something? The toy you buy, the stuff you buy for you, will never compare to what God could have done with that blessing. Ever. It just won't. I remember one time we were in a missions conference in Seward, and it was just about Christmas time. It was right after Thanksgiving, and we were in a missions conference, and my boss came to me one day and he said, "Hey, I want to take you out to lunch." And he gave me an envelope at lunchtime and he said, "Here, thanks for your work this year, man. I really appreciate it." I said, "That's kind of odd. It's not Christmas time yet. You don't normally give out bonuses until Christmas." He said, "Hey, man, I told you I'm thankful for what you've done." And I'll be honest with you, my wife and I were praying. You know, that was a pretty tight year. I've never had a lot of money. I don't know how. If you got a lot of money, I commend you for it. Good for you. I don't. But here's the thing. We have a lot of kids. That's why we don't have a lot of money. It was a choice. You know, you reap what you sow, right? But here's the thing. Let's just cut to the chase. Kids are expensive. And they're not getting any cheaper. But you know, it was right before Christmas time, and I was thinking, I opened that envelope, and it was about, I think it was $700 or $800. And I'm thinking, wow, this will really help for Christmas time. What a blessing. Well, the missions conference comes along, and I'm sitting in the service, and this family I had gotten really close to, I'd never met them until the missions conference, and the Lord, about halfway through the week, he spoke to my heart, and he said, "Remember that bonus I just gave you? I want you to give it all to that missionary." And I'm thinking, God, I prayed for you to give me this money so that my kids could have a good Christmas. He said, "Drew, do you trust me? I want you to give that money to that missionary." I told my wife, and I'll be honest with you, my wife's way more spiritual than me. She said, "Just do it. Just give it to him. Hey, I mean, the Lord's big enough, right?" So what do? I take that check, I cash it, and I even made it sweet. I put it in $100 bills. And I gave it through the church. I didn't go give it directly to the missionary. I didn't want him to know who'd done it. I believe that's biblical, by the way. You know, you don't need credit for what you do. It all belongs to him. Can I say something? That'll put a curse on your giving. Give it through the church. Through the local New Testament church. You don't have to walk up to a man and say, "Hey," I mean, if God leads you to do that, fine. But it's not about you. It's about God. Gave it to him. A couple of weeks went by. Our Christmas party rolls around at church, at work. We're there. I got my card. I went home, and I'm still praying, "Lord, you know Christmas is coming up." I mean, we had a couple of things already, but you know, I don't know how you are at Christmas, but we like to see our kids smile. You know, that's that big day, right? We don't do Santa Claus. If you do, I'm sorry. That's up to you. We like to see our kids come down and see those gifts under that tree and smile. and just have a joyful heart. And I went home that night. I opened that Christmas card. And remember, I told you that money that I'd gotten before was only about $700 or $800. Well, I opened that Christmas card, and it was a $1,500 check. A $1,500 check. A bonus check, by the way. Now, what if I would have just kept that $800? You hear what I'm saying, church? I firmly believe I never would have saw that $1,500 check. I just think that, just like Mary, when you're come ready to worship, there's no price on worshiping the Lord. It's not about what you got. It's about what can you give to Him. It was very precious to her. It was expensive. Very expensive. So expensive, not just anyone could have had it. This worship cost this woman a lot of money. Selling this, she could have had food and supplies for her house for a long time. If you read, 300 pence was about a year's wages back then. That's a long time. How many of you would take a year of your wages and just write it and put it in the offering plate? That'd be difficult. That'd take a lot of faith. A whole bunch of faith. But man, she didn't put it in the offering plate. She broke it and she poured it over the head of her God. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying, how much do you love the Lord? When's the last time you were ready to worship like that? Because you could. You know, later in the story, Jesus said she'd done what she could. Why did she do it? She had the ability to do it. And she did it. And by the way, she's a memorial because of it. That woman came ready to worship. This worship was worth it to her because her Lord was worth it to her. I wonder how many of you could think back in time, and no doubt Mary, she knew exactly who Jesus was, okay? This is not the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the sister of Martha, okay? No doubt she had seen the miracles that Jesus had done in and around her. She had seen the lepers healed and the blinded eyes made see and the lame made to walk and the dumb made to speak. She had seen all these things. She had seen the 5,000 fed. All these miracles she had heard about. She had seen her brother raised from the dead, Lazarus. Do you remember that story? She had seen that. And I wonder how many of you could think back in your memory and think about, man, if God don't show up right now, I'm going to be in a mess. If God don't show up and fix this, no one's going to be able to fix this. And He showed up and He fixed it and your mess was over. And when it was over, you just went back to normal life. Not Mary. Hey, she was a woman ready to worship the Lord. Church, that's how we ought to be. We ought to have those memories in our mind and think, when and how can I possibly worship the Lord today? Look for opportunities to worship God all the time. And if God presents you with an opportunity, by all means, do it. Pour it out. She made sure that her God was taken care of, and giving Him the worship He deserved was important to her. Hey, how important is it to you to worship the Lord? How important is it to you to make sure, mom, dad, that your children learn to worship the Lord? We get caught up. If you're like me, you have a busy schedule. And I do. I get caught up in baseball and coaching football, and I know that spending time with my kids, that's all good. But listen, there's no such thing as a touchdown in heaven. I love football, I do. But when I start loving football more than God, there's a problem. I love baseball. I live for baseball. But that was a problem. I should have been living for the Lord. If I teach my kids more about that stuff that's carnal, that's going to pass away, more than I do about the Bible, which will never fade away, then I've made a horrible mistake as a dad. I need to be teaching my kids how to worship the Lord. And mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if they see you worshiping the Lord, let me tell you something, that'll rub off. It'll rub off. It's contagious. It's like COVID. Everybody wants to be within 6 foot of somebody where the Lord is, right? Come on now. That was a horrible joke. Lord, forgive me. We all knew someone with COVID, right? I did. Lots of them. But look, worship is contagious. You ever been in a church service that was dead, and all of a sudden somebody decided, I'm tired of quenching the Holy Spirit of God, and God's Holy Spirit turned loose and everybody went crazy? I ain't talking about Pentecostal. I'm talking about Holy Spirit. Woo! Hey, you know that's all right to be excited in church. It's all right to raise your hand. It's all right to clap your hand. It's all right to bow your knee to an altar. Hey, I've seen preachers run pews. I'm not against that as long as it's the Holy Ghost keeping. I'm not going to run the pews. I promise you they're not made for my... This was not made for jumping pews. Okay? It won't happen. Promise. But hey, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of somebody, who am I to judge them? You know, the next group of people is what we often are like. Let's look at the next group of people. Look down in verse number 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Hey, listen, here's a woman that came ready to worship the Lord, and here we are as the bystanders saying, who in the world does this woman think she is? This woman has lost her mind. She's pouring out riches on a man that's about to die. Come on now. I wonder how many times you've been in that seat. The mocker. The scorner. The one, while somebody's getting right with the Lord, you're sitting over there saying, that's foolish. I would never act like that. I would never go before somebody in a church and bow my knee to an altar and let people know that I'm a sinner. I would never do that. I would never want to get caught up in praising and worshiping the Lord with her. No way. Hey, let me tell you something. You get a hold of what she had, you'll change your mind. I promise you. I've been in services that are dead to the world. Sometimes I've sat in services and I'm thinking, is this ever going to end? But you know, it's like when I pray, I it sounds kind of silly, but this is the Lord's house, right? And wouldn't it be good if He was home when we were here? Man, if He's here with us, it's not so boring. You don't have to fall asleep. You don't have to dread, oh my goodness, is this guy preaching again? Hey, no, you should be excited about preaching. I look at preaching as the main event. That's what I like. It's the grand finale. It's what pierces the heart of the lost sinner. Preaching does. It's powerful. You ought to be ready for it. You ought not be in that angry crowd of people that questioned her worship. Anytime, hey church, anytime you try to do something good for the Lord, guess what? People are going to question you and people are going to mock you. But can I tell you something? Just like we learned in Sunday school, we are not of this world. We are of Jesus Christ. We are to be ministering to the world. The next time they say, why are you worshiping like that? Why are you doing what you're doing? Because I have a God who's worthy. Because there's lost people all around that need the God who's worthy. I'm not doing it for you. I don't need your approval. I don't need your amen. What I need is to honor and worship God. And you can bet every time you try to do something good, listen, they're going to mock. They're going to laugh. There's going to be distractions. But oh, church, listen, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. How about that? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You don't have to worry about what the world says about you. Can I tell you a secret? You win. Anybody catch that? You ain't losers. I hate losing. That's the reason I joined the winning side. Right? You guys know that song? Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within. And my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along and He showed me I was wrong. And He placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Listen to this. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. Hey, so the next time you think there's no need for me to worship, just remember, you're not a loser. You're on the winning side. You can't go to hell if you wanted to, if you're on the winning side. Now, I'm not speaking to everyone here. If you're lost, guess what? You're going to hell. But you don't have to. And if you're saved, you can't go to hell if you wanted to. That's something to be excited about. Look what they asked her. They said, "Why would you waste this ointment?" Can I just say, any time or anything you give to the Lord is not a waste, church. It's never a waste to pour out anything and everything you have the ability to do, give, whether it's time, money, effort, whatever it might be. It's never going to return void in God's bank. Ever. I mean, look at the woman who just had two mites to give. She made the pages of the Bible. And you say, poor people don't mean much. Are you kidding me? Your name ain't in there. Oh, but my name's in the book of life. That's exciting, isn't it? Good night. My name is in the book of life. Oh, I love to sing. I don't know if you guys realize that yet or not, but I'm a singing preacher. I like to sing. I like to just obey the Lord. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I'll rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, I truly know my name is there. I know my name is there. My name is... Hey, if you know your name's written there, say amen. Amen. Hey, that's something to praise the Lord about, church. You could have sold that for 300 pence. Can I tell you something? You'll never be able to outgive God. You'll never be able to outgive God. So we saw a woman ready to worship. We saw the mockers making fun of her worship. But this is my favorite part of the story. We see a God who desired and was thankful for her worship. Look at this in verse number 6. And Jesus said, "Aren't you glad where sin abound, grace did much more abound?" Aren't you glad that at the same time the people are mocking her and scorning her, that Jesus didn't just sit back and say, "Get him! Get her! Get her!" No. Jesus stepped on the scene and said, "Hey, why are you messing with her? What she's doing is a good thing. Basically, back off. Leave her alone." Hey, that's his child. Are you a child of the Lord? Do you know that he will do the same thing for you? They might mock, they might scorn, but can I tell you something? They're not more powerful than an almighty God. And by the way, he's got your back. He's got your back. Jesus said, "Let her alone." Verse 6. "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Your worship may seem difficult at times. And maybe you even believe it's worthless." You know, the devil will tell you that. "I don't know why you wrote that check. I don't know why you teach that Sunday school class. That kid ain't ever going to get saved. I don't know why you knock on those doors. They're just going to slam them in your face. I don't know why you study your Bible to preach. No one's listening." You know, all that's lies from the devil. Some of you might not be listening. You're like, "Huh, that ain't a lie." God bless your soul. Bless your heart. Ain't that what they say down here? Bless your heart. They don't say that in Alaska. I ain't going to tell you what they say up there. It's more harsh there. They're hard-skinned people there. Bless your heart. The devil will tell you what you're doing is a waste of your time. It's worthless. Did you know that God is thankful and is always worthy of your worship? He appreciates what you do. Hey, after all, he deserves it. He is thankful for what you do. Jesus' response to the mockers was, "Leave her alone. He said she had done a good work on me." When's the last time Jesus could say that about us? When's the last time we could remember that Jesus would have our back and say, "You know what? Leave him alone. Leave her alone. They're doing a good thing for me." I wonder if you have that moment in your life where people mocked you and made fun of you and tried to make you quit and tried to tell you what you're doing is worthless, and Jesus said, No. "What you're doing is a good thing, bud. Keep it up. Keep it up. I'm worthy of your worship. And trust me, it'll be worth it in the end. It'll be worth it in the end." Jesus makes the point in verse 7 about the endless opportunities to do good for people. I told you before, we should do good for people. But anytime we have the opportunity, we ought to worship the Lord. Jesus said she hath done what she could. This is what I like the best about this story. She could have done less. Did you know that? She could have done less. No doubt she could have probably taken this ointment and divided it into different containers. I don't know. I've never seen the container. I can't prove it. But again, I told you before, I have an imagination. And if 300 pence is enough to live off of for a year, I can't help but think that there was a pretty good bit of ointment in that box. She probably could have broke that up and said, you know, I'll give this much to Jesus and I'll keep this much for me. Doesn't that sound familiar? But why not give all to Jesus? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Listen, she gave what she could. She was able to give it all, and church, she did. She did. I wonder if we're doing what we could or just what we will. You know, here's where we mess up. We think in our minds, what do I have the ability to do? Can I answer your question for you? Absolutely nothing. That's hard on some of us, right? Oh, well, you don't know who I am. I don't care who you are. I know who I am. And without the Lord, I'm nothing. Without God, I'm nothing. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. But without Him, church, say it with me, I'm nothing. Just go ahead and admit it. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. Your flesh will always tell you, you can't do that. You ever had that happen? The Lord will put something on your heart to do. And then that old devil will come in and say, yeah, I don't know if you should do that or not. That doesn't sound like a very good idea to me. But God said, do it. So who are we going to listen to? You know who's going to win that battle, church? Whichever one you feed the most. You're feeding your flesh, they're going to win every time. You feed that spirit man, he's going to win. It's up to you. The devil can't stand it when you do good for God. Don't listen to the lies of the flesh and the devil. We're almost done. This woman's worship became a memorial throughout all the earth. You say, what are you talking about? We're still talking about this woman today. We're still talking about Mary 2,000 and some odd years later. We're still preaching about her faithfulness. We're still preaching about her worship. We're still preaching about her desire to do good for her Savior. We're still talking about it today. Hey, can I ask you something? What are people going to say about you in 2,000 years? If most of us would be honest, the answer is not much. I mean, just reality. You know, somebody passes away, and for the first year or so, you know, we talk about them a lot. And listen, I've had loved ones pass just like you have. Please don't take me wrong here. But let's just be real. 2,000 years later, Jesus said, look at verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, wherever you go, basically let's paraphrase this, wherever you go, this woman is going to be there. Her story is going to be known throughout the whole world. The whole world. You know, here in Alabama, if I said the name Kay Ivey, everybody knows who that is, right? Who is she? That's our governor. Now, if I go to Alaska and say Kay Ivey, they're going to say, Kay who? Let me ask you this. Some of you might know this name, Lisa Murkowski. How many knows that name? Not very many, though, right? Three or four. You know who she is? She's an Alaska senator. Why don't you know her name? Well, one, she doesn't have a name worth knowing. She believes in killing babies. You know what she did? She stood up on a Republican platform and said, I'll vote right. I'll vote with my constituents that are against abortion. She's a liar. She's not a memorial. She's a mocker. But, hey, listen. One day, 50 years from now in Red Level, Alabama, somebody needs to know your name for something good. Somebody needs to be able to say, hey, that's the man that knocked on my door, invited me to church. He led me to the Lord in Sunday school. He counseled me. He discipled me. And today, I'm a preacher in a foreign country leading hundreds and thousands of souls to the Lord. Hey, that's how you get a good name. That's how you become a memorial. You do something good for the Lord. Don't take it for granted what you have the ability to do through the Lord. It's never a waste of time. You may never know the impact of your worship on this side of heaven, but you will definitely never know if you don't try. My wife's going to come, and they're going to sing a song. Can I say something this morning, church? Worship is worth it, after all. Worship is worth it. Listen, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, church. Listen, this altar's open. Don't be afraid, church, to come as they start playing here. And just bend your knee before the Lord. Don't worry about what your friends are doing. Your mom, your dad, listen. They can't take you to heaven. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, if the Lord spoke to you this morning, can I just say, you're free to worship. They're going to sing a song right now. It's called Free to Worship. Listen, I'm going to let them sing. You do business with the Lord. This altar's open.
It used to be so hard just to lift up my hands, 'cause real liberty was something I just didn't understand. I was bound by circumstances only God knew about, but I left them at the altar. Now I can say without a doubt, I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. After all He's done for me, I've got so much to praise Him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship, free to worship the Lord.
Listen, don't let the devil steal your joy anymore.
Now there are so many things that I've been through in my life, and you don't know those many times that God has touched my mind. All those chains that used to bind me now are laying at my feet. So if you don't want to praise Him, then please don't hinder me. I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. For after all He's done for me, I've got so much to praise Him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship, free to worship the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. After all He's done for me, I've got so much to praise Him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship, free to worship the Lord, free to worship the Lord.
Hey, church, no time on God. There's still time to do business with the Lord this morning. Why would you want to leave here the same way you came? Why would you not just want to pour your heart out to the Lord this morning and give Him the rest of your life? It's never too late to do what's right. Now is time. Give God what He's worth. They're going to sing that song one more time, church. You do business with them.
It used to be so hard just to lift up my hands, 'cause real liberty was something I just didn't understand. I was bound by circumstances only God knew about, but I left them at the altar. Now I can say without a doubt, I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. After all he's done for me, I've got so much to praise him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship, free to worship the Lord. Now there are so many things that I've been through in my life, and you don't know the many times that God has touched my mind. All those chains that used to bind me now are laying at my feet. So if you don't want to praise him, then please don't hinder me, 'cause I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. For after all he's done for me, I've got so much to praise him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm free to worship, free to lift up my hands and praise the Lord. After all he's done for me, I've got so much to praise him for. All the chains that had me bound will never hold me anymore. I'm free to worship the Lord, free to worship the Lord.